Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Coming up on TMS, two shits passing in the night.
Johnson Neighborhood Rescue Service, free roll of duct tape with every visit.
What a deal. Baby Johnson Johnson.
Cutting pipe is not a euphemism.
You had to park it on the grass?
Sorry about your leg casserole.
Ned Beatty looks great for 1,000.
All that MASH training finally paying off.
You are right where I would be if I were in your shoes.
Don't cut your own pipe.
I'm the best at what I do, and what I do is convert 8mm film.
The night the lights went out in Dayton.
Will you water the poison supply?
Letting Your Hate Be Your Guide with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I see you've got some balls, but you're going to regret it when I chop your head off with my axe.
Here's another example of sheer brute force.
This is The Morning Stream, and we're gonna need a bigger boat.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for May 17th, 2021. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Okay, it's a short week for us. We're gone Thursday on separate mini vacations.
Now it's a good time to clarify this during the show. We're gone Friday. Are we also gone Thursday?
Oh, are we? I don't know. I thought you were gone on Thursday morning. Aren't you gone? You're not gone.
No, we leave Thursday afternoon.
Could you use the extra time?
I could use the extra time to get the freelance done that'll need to be done this week. But if you were expecting a Thursday, if Wendy was expecting a Thursday show,
she's not. I told
if
her
our listeners were. Expecting
yeah, I
a
told
Thursday
her we
show.
Weren't because of this trip. But I thought it was because you had to fly early. But I say we just take Thursday off and call it a day to prep for your trip. Let's do that.
Yeah, prep for our trips, Scott.
Our trips
up there. It's their time. Down here, it's our trips.
Our trips. Mine's not much of a trip. It's to a place called Midway, a beautiful place here in Utah. But Brian is going to Las Vegas, Nevada. And so, you know, we're for the first time in a very long time, both of us are getting a little time away and enjoying a little time.
Getting on a plane in, let's see, last flight I took, was it Vegas? It might have been Vegas in August of 2019. So,
is that your last trip?
I think my last trip. 20 yeah. months.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I love that Vegas was the last place you went, and now the next place you're going. That's great.
Yeah, it's a nice bookend. Bookending the pandemic with the Sin City.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Feels like something you, in particular, should do. So, busy weekend here in the Johnson house. We had a bit of a four-alarmer on Friday. I think it was Friday. Yeah, because I watched FilmSec after this event. And then I forgot to talk to you guys on Saturday about it, but it was pretty intense. We get this door, this like frantic door knock at around, I don't know, 3 p.m. or something. Just bam, 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 bam. And we run up to the front door and swing it open. And there's this 14-year-old girl standing there, a neighbor. And she says, my dad's like bleeding all over the place.
And oh my God.
I was hoping maybe you could help me with it. You know, she didn't know how to quite explain it, but she said her dad cut himself and needed help.
She was trying to word it in a way that didn't also incriminate herself.
Yeah, exactly. So I know these people. They're great. I just didn't want to use any names. But anyway, she comes to the door, knocks, and we went full Johnson emergency mode. Like freaking like Voltron. We came together as one robot.
Right. Mobilized unit.
And Kim goes, all right, let's go. You go the back way. I'll go around the front. All right, sweet. We go over there. And here he is laying in his garage with his leg up. Blood everywhere. Mm. And the story is he was cutting some pipe. And this is not a euphemism, okay? He was actually cutting pipe.
Sure.
And he had a pipe cutter saw thing and this pipe on two vice grip based stands. And he was cutting the edge of it off and it jumped. He lost control of it in his hand. It flipped around, hit him once in the calf, and then dropped down and hit him another time lower, right before his ankle on the kind of meaty side of the leg. And hit something major because just blood everywhere. My gosh.
Oh, my God.
Blood. Yeah. Now, blood doesn't bother me. I don't know why. Never does. Never had a problem with it. People who faint at the sight of blood or just get weak, queasy or whatever, I don't get any of that. I just, it's whatever. Kim either. It's not a problem. So we immediately go, all right, let's get your leg in the air. Okay, sweet. Grab that towel, we tell the daughter, and she runs over there and grabs a towel. They said, Kim, grab the duct tape. We need duct tape. So she grabs duct tape, and we wrap the towel around the wound areas as tight as we can because, you always learn you got to put pressure right on the bleeder, right?
Right.
So we do that, and we wrap it with this duct tape. So now he's looking like
all that MASH training finally paying off.
I know. How many reviews of MASH did I have to see before I got to actually use this? But anyway.
Suction.
So we did that and stopped the bleeding. So that was good. And he was in shock, clearly. He was cogent. We could talk to him and stuff. But you could tell. Like the way he was kind of shaking and moving, he was entering shock or some form of shock. And so, got him comfortable, leg above his head sort of stuff. And so then we were like, all right, let's get some towels. We're going to get in our car because his wife's gone. We don't know where she is. She's out on errands or something. We're like, okay, no one can drive here. You're 14, so you're not taking him anywhere. And of course, here in the United States, first thing he has to think about is, oh, do I want to do an ER or should I go to like a insta thing?
God, doesn't that suck that we have to weigh, my leg has been nearly severed. Shoot. What do I want to do insurance wise?
Yeah. Cause we should have this. I mean, I would have gone to the ER, but he also is living on a very limited income. He's like 62 years old. He's got, he's got other reasons why that might be a problem, and he may not be able to afford the thousands of dollars that'll charge him if he goes to the ER. So he opted to go to this, his insurance has some emergency clinic thing that's probably an okay call. Like, had his leg been dangling from a string, ER would have been the way. Mm-hmm. But as deep as the cut was, I see why he erred on the side of this other clinic thing. It was his call, though. Yeah, but
like
again,
urgent care. You said? Did you say
it was like an urgent care, but different name? Yeah. I don't remember the name of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway,
that's where I went when I stabbed my hand during the pandemic.
Right. Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. So
I had to look to see which hand was it again. It's like, oh yeah, the one with the big scar. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There you go. But this is the state of the United States freaking healthcare system. You have to weigh your freaking financial options every time anything bad happens to you. But anyway, so he we're getting him ready to load him into Kim's car, which ironically we just cleaned, but we're thinking, all right, a little blood, whatever, we're saving a guy's life, let's do this, let's go. And
can't stay clean forever.
We started to do it, and then his wife shows up right then, and boy did she have the look of a ghost face when she walked in. She couldn't believe what was going on. She's like, what the frick is going on in here? There's blood all over the garage. And he's like, oh. So then she's like, well, no, I'll take him, let's put him in the van or whatever they have. And and so we're like, oh, okay, well, they don't need us for this. All right, let's load them up. All right, we're bringing food over later. Who needs it? Kim says to whoever. we got the whole plan. Everything's good.
Of course.
And Kim's like, you need to move my car, Scott. You need to move my car so they can get out of here. And I'm like, all right, I'll get in the car. And I back the car up, and there's no, at the back alley sort of road where we live, there's no double space. So I got to park it off somewhere.
Sure.
So I parked it just a little bit on our back lawn, our like side lawn thing. Not too bad, but just on there. And then while we all get done, they leave. The trail of blood is intense. Everyone's freaking out. And then Kim looks at me. She looks at the car and she goes, you had to park it on the grass? I'm like, it was an emergency.
Right, right.
I was in the pool. No, but anyway, so she was fine. It was no big deal. I was careful about, not hitting sprinklers or whatever. But
did you at least set the emergency brake?
I did do that, yeah.
Good,
and pulled it another notch or two just to annoy her. But anyway, end of the day, that was just it was a little crazy. But sometimes it feels good, man. Sometimes you need an emergency to like get your to really get your adrenaline out and like get like back into it, like a mode of like, all right, nothing else matters right now but this problem. And there's something about that focus.
Yeah.
That's a real break during the pandemic where you have a million concerns, worries, thoughts, feelings, and they're spread all over the place and they're all slow. But in this case, it's like, guy's leg is half severed. He's bleeding everywhere. You have to do these four things in a row and there's no deviation and you can't think of anything else. Like there's something about that I really liked.
It's also like a self-contained thing. It's not like a, all right, now we've done this. Now we have to wait 2 weeks to be able to do that. And, or, you know, is this going to change or is that going to change? It's like, nope, we're presented with a problem. We fixed it. The problem is at least on our part, solved.
Yeah. Yeah.
he's got a little bit of work still left to do, but,
that's true.
Yeah, it's nice to have a one episode problem.
There you go.
That can be started and finished in
exactly.
One episode.
No overarching story. I mean, other than I can give you a little follow up. He's home and well, and is just resting that leg, and his work is giving him a little time off. Yeah, he's on a crutch, but they didn't hit any veins that would be considered you know massive. I think in the end it was like 12 external stitches and a few internal, so a lot, fair amount.
Yeah.
But he's okay. And the bottom line is, don't cut your own pipe. That's the lesson.
Exactly. What kind of casserole? What's the sorry you almost lost your leg flavor of casserole that Kim brought over?
Kim's more of a I'll cook you an entire chicken, stuff it full of stuff. She doesn't go cheap.
That's even better. That's better than a casserole.
Yeah, good. She goes kind of crazy. Yeah. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, it was a hell of a thing. And then the rest of the weekend just felt normal and. I don't know. It kind of threw me. I think what happened is I always have these delayed reactions. So, you know, Friday slept fine, no issues, whatever. But Saturday, it was like it caught up with me, the intensity of it. And I could not sleep on Saturday to save my freaking life. Just could not sleep.
Weird.
Yeah. Last night, no problem. Slept fine. So.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Last night was the first night in a long time that I got a really good night's sleep.
Yeah, for you, that's 3.5 hours? What did we get there?
Last night, like, whatever 10:30 to 5:45 a.m. would be. So, let's see, 10:30 to 5:30 would be 7 hours, 7 hours, 15 minutes.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's great for me. Are you kidding me? That's like...
That's a long night.
I feel like I overslept, Scott, is... situation.
I don't know the last time I had 7 straight. That's really strong.
Yeah. Granted, I had Friday night had tequila, so we went to meet some friends of ours who gave us, or they're lending me. I'll show it to you.
Yeah, you got something there. This deal right here. See what you got. Oh, I love show and tell. Here we go.
This guy right here.
Oh my lord! Oh, the Super 8 converter thing.
Super 8, 8mm Super 8 converter does both kinds, and it's the. The Wolverine.
Oh, the Wolverine.
I'm the best at what I do, and what I do is convert 8mm films to digital.
That's awesome. So where did you... So apparently you got a bunch of old footage of, like, what, when you were a little kid or something, or...?
Even before I was even born. So 60s... The box that I've got is all 60s stuff.
Yeah.
Which is all stuff before I was born. And so the one video that I know we've got somewhere is not in this box. And so that tease I had last week may be teased for a little bit longer because I'm not seeing... Well, I take that back. The little box is the little 8mm, like 3-inch reels of video all have dates on it from like 1963 to 1967.
Right.
And I've already converted a few of them. There was a Disneyland one in there, right?
Oh, that's
with my
cool.
Mom and my dad before, you know, 67, 2 years before I was born, going with my grandparents and my uncle. And they went to Disneyland and all they took video of was frickin' Tom Sawyer Island.
I mean, was that the big thing in the 60s? Was that like a hot attraction or something?
Well, you could see Matterhorn in the background. I'm like, oh, get some shots of Matterhorn. But, you know, based on what I saw, it looks like they went right through Disneyland to Mark Twain River and then said, oh, let's spend the entire day walking around trees and into cabins.
Wow. Well, maybe it's because I don't know. I don't. Those old cameras, could you easily take them on a log flume or take them
No, you wouldn't be able to take them on the rides, but at least you could, you know, get some video from the base of the ride where the little cars splashed down and stuff.
That was the format of that era, though. If you were making home video, you were doing it on Super 8.
8mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those things, for that entire reel, 3 minutes. Like, mm-hmm. if the reel is full from tape to end to end, mm-hmm. It's about 3 minutes worth of video.
Hmm.
And it takes about, I don't know, half an hour to convert on this thing, because basically it just goes frame by frame and scans each frame and then assembles them.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Yeah.
It is cool. It's fun. It's really crazy seeing all these old videos of my grandparents and my mom and my uncle and all that stuff.
I need to do... all of that. I need to go find my stuff, see what's what. Like, I'm right now I'm showing the chat room an old video of me at a soccer game. These are all Super 8, but I was like maybe, I don't know, not even 3 months old or something, four months old is all. And then, so these have all gotten converted, but whoever did them at like freaking 4x3 360, you know, pixel, you know, the smallest freaking DVD resolution you can do.
Oh, yeah. So like super pixelated and stuff.
Yeah.
These aren't great either. I mean, I could.
And I don't know if maybe there's a way for, you know, there's all this talk of like, AI based upscaling of old video and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I would love to. I don't know. I'd love to do some of that with this stuff. But anyway, oh, there's them going to the hospital having me. There's me getting my wiener out. Look at you guys. My wiener. It's my baby wiener. Look, baby wiener.
Oh, great. Great. Yep. Right there.
Yep. Aren't you glad you tuned in today? Everyone at home's like, what?
Yeah. See, like if I give you, I'll give you a just a frame from this. With the movement, it's a lot better. You know, as you see the video moving, it looks a lot better than it does there. But boy, you freeze frame it and.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
It's, oh, wow. Just, yeah. It's weird, right? It's like, who's that back there going? Rah! That's not.
That is my Uncle George.
Is that George?
In one of the tree houses on Tom Sawyer Island screaming. That's my dad walking up the stairs, the yellow shirt.
Yeah. He's got the good look
and
going.
And I think.
Who's the lady?
I think that's my grandmother, Josephine, actually.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Horseback riding at Disneyland at one point.
Did they? I don't know that. That seems like a thing they probably used to do.
Yeah.
But they don't do anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they opened in 55. So, I mean, this was like 12 years after they opened that they went there. So, I mean, it was before, I think Space Mountain was early 70s.
Somewhere in there. I remember that being new when I was young enough to remember someone talking about it being new.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like 74, 75, something like that. It felt like it was around, well, that would have been much later, though. Wouldn't have been around Star Wars. I don't know. But all I know is that's a famous ride now because that's where my kids refused to get on, and Carter thought she'd throw up if she got on it. So
1975 is when Space Mountain opened.
Oh, 75. So, wow. Right in the middle.
Yeah, there you go.
Right then. Well, now I've shown the chat room my wiener for the first time, and and if you think it looked big then, <just kidding>.
Wow.
Oh, by the way, Claire in the chat room thinks I'm drinking Monster. I don't know where she's getting that. I have a tea in here, and I don't have a Monster. She thinks it's a Monster can.
Oh, it's that dark green. It's the Monster can color.
Oh, that one.
So if you're viewing it on a, you know. And it's funny because the way the light hits it, it almost looks like it's the two pieces of the M.
Oh, I could see
the
that.
Two
then.
Arms of the M. Yeah.
All right. Well, I was going to blame the Irish, but once again, it's all fine. Hey, a quick reminder that today, it's not really night for me, but it will be when I'm done, begins the foray of the what we're going to call the Resident Evil 8 live scream.
Nice. Clever.
I'm sure that's been used a million times, but. Anyway, that starts tonight at 4 p.m. Mountain Time. John Jagger will be there to provide guidance/commentary. He's beat the game 3 times. So he's an insane person. I don't know how he did that.
Like already?
Yeah.
Came out.
I know. In like the week and whatever or so, he's beaten it. And I want to say a run through that thing, the first run through that's like 16 hours. That's a pretty big game. So I don't know how he did it, how he fit it all in. But he did. And he loves it, and as a result, now knows everything about it. So he'll know when I'm about to do something dumb or.
Oh,
you know,
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he can just like wait for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all true. That's so tonight is the night, and I want to thank Badger Lord again for donating the game. For that is the reason why I allow this to happen at all. And if you show up, you'll hear things like. And much more. So come join us today, 4 p.m. Mountain Time. We'll do it every Monday at 4 until we're done. And I'll put the whole thing up on YouTube as well. So
oh, that's great.
Watch for that. Okay. Nice. What say you to some... what if I smeared a little Dunaway on your bread? How would that feel?
Smear a little generous helping of Dunaway on my bread.
Sweet. I'm going to do that then.
Ew.
And, yeah, pretty gross, but nonetheless, he's great on your bread or otherwise. So here we go. Oh, look who it is, everybody! It's our old pal Brian Dunaway. Hi, hey, hello.
Oh, oh hey.
Oh,
hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Scott.
Are you there?
Hi.
I don't think I've ever had so many different greetings thrown at me at once. Greetings, hello, hi. Except that one time I called iOS. Yeah,
there you go. Hey, are you at work? You're at work right now, right?
Scott, why?
I know, but here's why I got to ask you. I got a reason. The reason you're at work, the reason I ask is because I know that you happen to work in something that's sort of governmental-ish.
Yes, I do indeed.
Could you take the town down with the stroke of a key, or if you got into the
Absolutely
right...
Absolutely not. Oh. I do not hold that kind of power.
Oh, well, I was sure that there was...
So no sense in kidnapping me.
Yeah, no one puts Brian
now,
in
I don't know
corner.
What you think I am exactly, like I'm some kind of... The 1960s Batman villain where I'm trying to poison the water tank. But no.
Okay.
There is no advantage to me at my current staffing over any other lunatic that would decide to do such a thing.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Like, if you wanted to go rogue one day, you were just like, man, I'm sick of this place. I'm gonna leave my mark and everyone will remember the name Brian Dunaway for here and forever. What I mean, you could do something, right?
I'm sure I could, but I mean, why would I?
I don't know.
I mean, okay, so it's like this: we're so well set up. We've covered ourselves so many times that even if I decided, I'm like, you know what? I'm deleting so and so's emails. I'm deleting all of them. Mm. Doesn't matter. Offsite. All that stuff is archived elsewhere.
Gotcha.
It doesn't matter what I do.
Okay.
I could cause some havoc, like for a day.
Right.
But you know, then the police would come get me. And I wouldn't have done anything other than paint myself, you know, paint my face white and laugh.
Yeah, maniacally. Like the Joker. Sure.
Right.
What if you dropped a turd in the break room? How much trouble would you
now,
get?
Now, I have accidentally dropped my my baby Ruth in a sink full of water.
Swimming pool. Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah, and I'm like oops, sorry about that.
I should leave that in there.
I'm like, sorry about that. Then I pick it up and eat it, and everybody freaks out, and it's okay.
Yeah, that's totally.
But that's more psychological warfare than anything, really.
Sure, or scatological warfare. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right, we have. I think we have a listener on the line. Although right now I see their rings of speakage are really loud. So let's see how this goes.
Oh God.
Oh, this isn't bad. Oh, they hung up.
Oh,
they got chicken. They must have heard about the baby Ruth.
They had this like I had it muted, so I didn't. Pick it up right away, but I'm glad I didn't because it looked like it was full blast. Like something was really loud, and I don't know if it was them.
Like you see the full all the way up to the red. Just,
yeah, it was bad. But let's see how this one goes. This is a different one. Hi, thanks for holding. Who's this?
Hi, this is Brooke from Ohio.
Well, hello, Brooke from Ohio.
Hey, Brooke.
How the heck are you?
I'm really good.
Oh, that's fantastic.
This is my first time calling in, and I got.
Right I know
through,
we love hearing a new name.
I know it's that we were Brian and I were just talking yesterday about how you know we want to hear more. We want more diversity, more people than the same 10 people. And look, first day here's somebody new. This is great.
Boom. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. We're really glad to have you here. Brian's going to explain how it works, what you could win, and how this game plays. Brian.
Well, before I do that, Brooke, what part of Ohio are you from?
I'm from the Dayton area.
The Daily News.
Dayton Daily News.
Yes.
Yep. Do you work in utilities? Can you bring your utilities down?
Can you bring down your entire city with a keystroke?
Oh, man, you can't. No brownouts in Dayton. That's too bad.
All right. Anyway. All right, Brooke. Well, I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian a topic. They're going to be going back and forth, giving me answers that fit that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Your job is to predict who's going to come out on top. Based on the topic today, you are playing for a pair of Steam games, courtesy of Wesley. Courtesy.
Oh, so courtesy. Thank you.
So courtesy. Yeah. Oh, courtesy. You're playing for Townsman, A Kingdom Rebuilt. God, that sounds like my kind of game where you build a kingdom. Yep. And Call of Cthulhu.
Oh.
Both is it also your kind of game? Eldritch Horror.
Okay, just the standard. Okay.
Yeah, just standard horror game. That's cool.
Nice. Yep. All right, so those are your prizes, but to win them, we need to give the boys a topic. Now, here's one of these things, though, that I kind of don't know how much of this show the guys watched in the 90s, but today is the 21st anniversary of the very last episode of Beverly Hills 90210.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't it feel like it feels like longer than 21 years ago, right? Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It feels a lot longer than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, some of us hated that show, so I'm nervous about this, but keep going.
Why would you hate
some
that
of us,
show?
Some of us meeting Scott, it sounds like.
I didn't
what did you
it.
Think about the reboot? Did you watch it?
No. Hell no. I didn't like the source material. I'm not watching the reboot.
How about did you watch Riverdale at least?
No, my wife loves Riverdale, though. She loves
it. How about Melrose Place? Did you watch Melrose Place?
Two episodes.
Yeah, Melrose Place actually is more accessible, really, than 90210. Believe it or not.
It was targeted towards an older audience. Yeah, exactly.
Because they went from teens high school to, like, 20s college. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
All right.
Anyway. So back to Beverly Hills 90210. Over 10 seasons, we got to meet a large cast of characters, and 21 of them appeared in 50 episodes or more. Now, I'm going to allow, just based on Scott's reaction and response, I'm going to allow both of you to either give me just the character's first name or the actor actress who played.
The actor good, I can do.
Good.
Okay.
I figure that'll help.
It's
you.
It's been a long time since I've seen the 90210, and I probably would recognize an actor's name before I would recognize.
You probably would. Okay, cool. So name, so either actor or the first name of the character. I mean, hell, if you want to give me both names of the character, good luck with that. But let's see here. What else? I'll give you, obviously, you'll still get your starting mulligan. I'll give you guys each one extra mulligan.
Here's your little extra mulligan there. They had in how many? You said more than 12.
More than 50 episodes.
Oh, wow. So just the core cast.
40 episodes.
Okay. I'm just going to go anybody that appeared ever on
902. I think that's safe. Exactly. all right. So that is the topic. Brooke, I don't know if you could tell how confident Scott and Brian feel about this topic, but who do you feel is got the edge?
So I feel like Brian as scared when he heard the topic. So I'm going to go with Brian to win and Scott to go first.
All right. So I think you're right where I would be if I were in your shoes. So I think this is a good
call.
Yeah, that's
what I would have said too.
All right, well, let's just
Brad Dunaway didn't go 90210. Hell no!
I hate that show. What a bunch of crap.
Well, let's go with let's start with, I don't know what character he played, but the late great Luke Perry.
Luke Perry. He played Dylan McKay, the bad boy from Across the Tracks.
Yeah, like James James Dean. It was kind of a James Dean kind of thing ish.
Kind of was. Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
All right,
Rebel Without a Clue. All right, Luke Perry is, we're off to the races here. Brian.
Okay, then if we got to go with the other side, we're going to go with Jason Priestley. And he played, what is his name? Brandon, I think. Is that right? Brandon?
Geraldine.
He did play Brandon. Oh. Brandon Walsh. Right.
Geraldine Ferraro. Yep.
He fired on all cylinders. Look at that.
One of the most frequent appearances on the show. He did leave before the last season and was only shown in flashbacks, but 245 episodes for Mr. Jason Priestley.
Okay, let's go with Shark Man, Ian Ziering. Ian Ziering.
Oh, yeah.
Don't remember his character.
Pronounced Ian, Scott. Oh, it's Ian Ziering.
Ion.
Yeah, Steve Sanders, not just a Beverly Hills 90210 alum, but also I think a Celebrity Apprentice as well.
Yeah.
Nice.
He played like 16 and was like 28 or something when he did it.
Right. Appeared in all 292 episodes of Beverly Hills 90210.
Wow. He used the whole buffalo is what he did.
He was the whole buffalo, exactly.
All right, Dunaway.
All right. I'm going with Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Oh, very good. She dropped the amber, by the way, and is now just Tiffany Thiessen. Yeah.
Oh, why did she get rid of it? She doesn't like the amber?
I guess not.
It wasn't the color of her energy.
Okay. Well, I don't even know her that way. If you drop that out, then I can't recall you.
Sure. I know, right? Yeah, like a three name. Hey, I can remember a three name performer, but yeah, Tiffany Amber Thiessen appeared. I mean, she was Amber Thiessen back then. 136 episodes, appeared as Valerie Malone.
Valerie. All right, let's
join the cast in the fifth season.
Yeah, I was gonna say she was a late.
Oh, was
addition.
It that late?
Oh, you
I
know why? Because one eye lower than the other one left.
Oh, please. That's not nice.
Well, that's how I remember her. Hold on a second.
you think that's why she left?
No, she had a prominent. She had a thing where one eye was lower than the other one, and it just drove me crazy.
Tom Cruise?
Shannon. Oh,
Shannon. Her name is Shannon.
Like my my daughter or my sister used to say, used to say Dorito this way. Dohertie. Doherty. Doherty. Shannon Doherty.
Shannon Doherty. Very good. Dohertie.
Dur-dur.
Yes. Yep. Beverly Hills 90210, of course, Heather's. She's a Little House on the Prairie alum.
I love it when she went to, when she did the, was it the Spike Chow that did the, the Scare Tactics?
Oh, was she in that?
She did like the first couple of seasons of that.
I think. Oh, I don't remember.
She was
that.
The first.
No memory of that.
The first host.
Yeah. I'm sure.
Gotcha. Yes, Shannon Doherty, who's had some major health issues, fought breast cancer in the early or the mid 2000s or.
Yeah, and I think she's currently another wave of that or something. It's pretty
awful.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But Shannon Doherty, she did. She left in the fifth season when Tiffany
Amber. Sure.
Yeah, she was the swap out.
I could have swore that was much earlier.
They were two shits passing in the night.
Wow. I'll get more heat for the eye comment, though. All right, go ahead, Dunaway. Your turn.
Gonna go with Tori Spelling.
Oh, gosh, dang it.
Hard to forget Donna Martin, who almost didn't graduate. Almost didn't graduate, Brian Dunaway, because of something I can't even remember.
You can't even remember what the...
Another perma fixture in the show. She appeared in all 292 episodes of Beverly Hills 90210.
Well, since I just watched that Kid 90 documentary, this is helpful because there's a prominent... use of Brian Austin Green in that documentary.
My next one.
Yeah.
Yep. Another full timer. 292 episodes for David Silver.
Yeah.
Who was the school was vanilla DJ. Without the ice?
Yeah. He he was the school DJ and stuff, right? Like they had their radio thing.
Exactly.
That's so dumb.
Yep.
So dumb. Anyway. All right, Brian.
And I know two more. I can't remember the character's name. You said I could do the character name or
the actor actress, yes,
mm-hmm. Or both if you have them.
Or both.
That's just a flex if you want to be cool.
That's right. Yeah,
it was Kelly, and I can't remember.
Good enough.
Close enough. Kelly, dude. I don't remember her or her real name, so you got her. Well done.
Yeah, Kelly.
She was one of the primary actresses.
I know
she was. Kelly Taylor, played by Jenny Garth. Jenny Garth also appeared on every single episode of the show, lasted through that whole damn thing.
And, yeast.
How about
now does like a house flip show with her husband or something, I think. Tina's watched a little bit of it.
Okay, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now, there's the one that was like 38 when she played 16.
Right, yeah.
And I don't...
Oh, the I know you're talking about, and I couldn't think of her name. So I think I know. Think of it, congratulations.
I think
I can't think of the actress or the character.
I can't think of either of her. So what if I had a first or last name? That doesn't probably count. Not that I have either
of
for
the,
this one.
Of the character?
Go last yeah. name, Smith.
If I had
go
the, with either one. Smith. Like if I had a first or last name of the character.
First,
or the
first name of the character is enough.
Is enough?
Is enough.
Is enough?
Oh, dude. All right. Well, I'm gonna go obscure, and I don't even think the number's right. But I know I have a strong memory that that Steve Buscemi was in this show for a while as a regular role. Now it may not meet your standard of 40 episodes.
No, I didn't think about that. Who's
so this
before?
May be a mulligan, but the whoever Steve Buscemi played, it was like a he was like a school vice principal or some shit like that.
Golly, I am looking.
Am I thinking
I don't
the
remember.
Wrong thing?
We watched.
I don't remember
watched,
that at all.
Through the first like six seasons of it.
Right. I don't remember that
what
at all.
What am I thinking of?
I haven't
you
thought
might
about
be
any of the
Nurse Jackie. I don't know, but I don't remember, and I'm not coming up with Steve Buscemi at all. On
damn it! All right, so I get a mulligan.
Right.
How many
that's
mulligans?
Right. Mulligan.
Maybe you're thinking of Melrose Place.
Do I just get a? I just get a mulligan, right?
You get a mulligan. You just used up your a mulligan.
What so am I thinking of Steve Buscemi for?
I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm trying to fit him in there, and I'm seeing it for some reason, even though I know it's not right.
Yeah, like he went undercover or something. Was like,
yeah. Oh, I think you're thinking of when he was. What was that on? When he went undercover?
Hello, fellow teenagers.
Oh shit!
Yeah, what was that? What was that?
That's what I'm thinking of. What was that?
That is hilarious. Not even close. Was that like a Disney show or something?
It was a movie.
What's up,
people,
dudes?
People have, you know, the meme is already, oh, never been kissed, right?
Never been kissed. That is hilarious.
Oh,
you sucked me
no,
into 30
Rock.
Reality.
I'm sorry, it was 30 Rock, yes.
30 Rock.
Really?
Yeah, 30 Rock.
I have this image of in my head that he's undercover in the school of 902.
He does, but it's bad. I mean, it's like he's like got a skateboard and... What's up, dudes?
Right. Oh, Andrea. Andrea's the girl. Andrea.
There you go.
Oh,
yes, Andrea gosh. Zuckerman. Played by the current head of the Screen Actors Guild and feuder with Donald Trump.
You know what? I always wondered when like modern memes were going to ruin my memory. It just happened today. Because that's a meme with Steve Buscemi. It's got nothing to do with 90210. Why do
I
associate
been doing
with
90210.
That?
Yes.
That's, I am struggling.
Andrew Zuckerman, 147 episodes. When did she get out? She got out...
At the bitter end.
Probably, you know, when she had to go to a nursing home, right?
Right.
The end of season 5.
Yeah, I was going to say, at some point they went, you know, you really are starting to look like you're in your 40s. So we have to, you know, you got to graduate. It's ridiculous. Yep. Anyway. All right, Brian.
God, I'm gonna be amazed.
I'm amazed
if you guys come up with any more. But
that, yeah, me too. Because all I can think else is now. Okay, so we've got the core characters. There's parents involved.
Sure.
And I really can't. I mean, I really can't think. I can see their faces, but I can't think of it. So I might have to fall back to some.
Just guessing a first name or something.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that, but that would be fun. I could.
Was there
but I think I'm going to go with some of the special guest stars. I remember on a very special episode of 90210, and I don't remember whether this character came up much or not, but I remember Dean Cain being on there a couple
really?
Of times.
Spreading anti-mask propaganda.
He played Clark, I think.
He played Clark. He actually played a character named Rick, but it was only 4 episodes. So.
Oh, times man. That by 10, and you'd have it if you just times it by 10.
That's right, mulligan time. So you mulligan. got another guess?
I can't believe I may have Andrea to thank for my
right.
God, I know.
My chance
I could
here.
See.
Freaking
Andrea. Jason Priestley's mom.
Uh-huh. Is that character name?
Yes, that's her character name, Jason Priestley's mom. So Brandon's mom. That's how she's listed in the IMDb.
Yeah,
I believe.
Brandon's mom.
Your Brandon's mom.
I can't do it.
Oh, man. It's not going to work.
Was that not your answer? Or what are you doing?
It's definitely my answer.
Oh, well, then you're wrong.
No, Jim and Cindy were the parents.
Jim and Cindy. Okay, they made up something. I could have made that up. Jesus.
You could have guessed the first name.
Yep.
Let's see. Kathleen Robinson played Claire. She was another long timer. She was David Silver's girlfriend for a long time. Felice Martin, played by Catherine Ken. That's Donna's mom.
Yeah.
Anne Gillespie was Kelly's mom, played Jackie.
Oh, yeah.
So all there is parents left in the 40 Club, probably?
No. Let's see. Jesse Vasquez was a boyfriend.
Is there some Peach Pit person, like a Peach Pit runner, owner?
Well, Nat ran the Peach Pit. Joe E. Tata, or Tata. Don't know how you pronounce it.
But
he was on 238 episodes of the show. Jamie Walters played Ray Pruitt. He pushed Donna down the stairs in a very special episode of 90210.
Oh, my Lord.
Yes.
I don't remember any of that. All right. Well,
now, a lot of my 90210 watching was as I did other things while someone else was watching it. So
that would be the best way.
Yeah.
To
it was mostly in the peripheral.
That was my full absorption. I mean, things like if Luke Perry hadn't have done Fifth Element, I wouldn't probably remember Luke Perry very well. Or, you know, like some of those guys went on to do stuff that made them interesting outside of the show. And like
I keep forgetting that Luke Perry was in Fifth Element for like a minute at the very beginning.
It's not very long.
As an assistant.
Yeah, super.
He's like, this is it.
He's light.
This is it. I'm probably going to be in movies.
He's in that 8 minute. Or what's that?
The rodeo.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good. He's all right in that. Like I think he had real.
Or 8 seconds.
He had potential outside of where he kind of
minutes.
Where he kind of
8 minutes. You spend 8 minutes on a bull. You're damn impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. 8 hours.
The bull is just like, you win.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm going back to Bull Town. All right. Well done, everybody. Except boy, howdy, we got a loser today. Not our listeners. Brooke, you're not a loser. What we mean is, Brian, you picked the wrong guy is what I'm saying. And it's not your fault. There'll always be a future chance where you get to pick the right person. But today is not that day. How do you feel about your devastating loss?
I feel fine. I'm just happy I got in.
Well, I'm happy you got in, too.
Well, we're glad you were here, Brooke.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If we're ever in Dayton or nearby, we'll have to hang out. Thanks so much for playing. Hey, Brian, well done. You looking forward to the Boop Show tomorrow? I am. Going to be great.
No, not really. Of course I'm looking forward to the Boop Show. What kind of crazy question is that?
It's a bad question.
That's almost as crazy as will I poison the water supply.
Right, almost as crazy as that, but not quite. Tomorrow we got indie games to talk about, some indie news to talk about, all kinds of indie, so be there and enjoy it. It'll be at 3:30 Mountain Time. Yeah,
I've been playing Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Oh yeah,
it is amazing.
Yeah,
if you like Zeldas.
Yeah, I've been playing Voxel Tycoon, which I will also talk about. If you like voxels and tycooning, then
I do like voxels.
I'm here for you. I've also been playing a lot of that new Mass Effect trilogy almost all yesterday. That's all I did, but it feels good to be back in the presence of Commander Shepard. Anyway, hey Brian, that's great. Oh, and episode this last weekend on FilmSack, we finally did Predator, the original Predator.
Finally.
From 1987. Oh, so yeah, if you haven't seen that or heard that yet, you're going to want to watch that.
We finally got to the choppa.
Yeah, he got to
the
choppa.
We did get to the choppa. And thank you to Scott and everybody for letting me play with There Will Be Dungeons. That was also good.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Weekend. You were awesome on there, by the way. Everybody really enjoyed it. Brian had a great little...
I need to
go
back and listen. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Eventually, we'll have all the Brians on, but it was great. He's only our second guest ever, so nice job. You did a good job.
Oh, well, good. Shrugs went, meh. Okay.
Went, meh. His character's name was Shrugs, and guess what? He shrugged a lot.
Shrugs.
Yeah. Shrugs the rogue. He was fantastic. All right, Brian, stay out of trouble, eat your vittles, and don't bring down the Greenville power
grid. Poison the water supply.
All right, we got time for a story, so let's do one here.
In the News is sponsored by... You'll find quality in our corner.
All right, we got the news here brought to you by...
Totally will. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Longest Day Charity thing. That's a thing I'm doing, and we're going to do a live stream playthrough at some point in June, in mid-June. We're figuring out dates and times and stuff of the Oculus game Demeo. I don't know how it's pronounced. But we get a bunch of us together. We're going to be doing a four-player live stream and raising money for Alzheimer's. If you want to donate early, you really should. Go to tiny.cc/CovervilleALZ2021. That's all lowercase. Coverville ALZ for Alzheimer's 2021.
Very nice. I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun.
I am too. Gotta pick that thing up.
Yeah. I've watched a couple of live streams. It looks like a riot. It looks like a good time. Like it an does. Actually legit good tabletop game in VR. So
that's what people are saying. Yeah.
I need to charge my headset. It's been off for a couple of weeks and I hope where is it? There it is. All right. No worries. Hey, a shrunken head artifact. That's in the news. Mm-hmm. Check it out, you guys. Mm-hmm. Shrunken heads. Remember those? Those were a thing for a while.
It's a thing.
A shrunken head artifact that was used as a prop in a John Huston film is now been revealed to be human.
Duh.
Yep. It wasn't some prop or fake. It's real. It's a grim artifact that has been on display for decades and at Georgia University has been authenticated as human, a human head taken from a slain enemy by an Amazonian warrior nearly two centuries ago.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Mrs. Prince could not be found for a comment.
What film was this in?
That's what I'm trying to find here. I didn't put it in this part of the article. Let me see if I can find it.
Looking at the article here. Oh, I guess it's a long article.
Yeah, it's really long. So
they put this in the headline, but then don't give it to us in the first 12 paragraphs.
Yeah, and they have the whole shrunken heads were popular and curiosity even keepsakes in some part of the world. But it's like, I know, but what movie?
Oh, here we go. The 1979 John Huston film Wiseblood.
Wiseblood.
A version of the novel by the writer Flannery O'Connor.
Ah, look how wise your blood is now.
Flannery O'Connor. Hold on, let's take a look here and see what Wise Blood got on IMDb. 1979, 7.1 out of 10, not bad. Hmm. Got Brad Dourif in there. Ooh.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And a real head, shrunken head.
Actual shrunken head. But that's just Brad Dourif. Then there was this other shrunken head. Anyway.
He's running a special. He'll give you three heads for one of yours.
Oh, that had Ned Beatty in there. William Hickey.
Oh, you got it. You got it. Toyota, that guy.
Henry Dean Stanton. Look at this cast.
The blessing.
The blessing. I mean, Ned Beatty, how's he doing? He's alive. Yeah. Anyone checked in on him? Is he all right?
See, he was Gene Hackman's sidekick in the Superman movies, right? The first.
He also squealed like a pig in.
In Deliverance. Sure.
Let me just quickly look at Ned Beatty today. He's what, 1,000? I mean, 37. Yeah. That makes him
1,000.
80 something? Oh, he looks great. Well done, Ned Beatty. You look fine. Ah, oh, you know
83,
what?
83. 83. Ned Beatty.
That makes me happy. Yeah. Ned Beatty looking great for his age.
Uh huh.
That's awesome. All right. Him and Hackman still rocking it, I guess.
That's right.
We haven't heard from Gene. I got to stop bringing up these names. They're going to die. What am I doing?
Yeah, quit bringing up Gene Hackman.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. Anyway, beware of shrunken heads. They might be somebody you know. All right, moving on. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Bill Duran will be joining us. We're going to talk about making things. Before we can do that, though, we got to make music, and Brian brought the music to make it. What do you got?
Gene Hackman, 91 right now.
Whoa.
All right, let's go to a brand new album that just came out called Poilen, P-O-I-L-L-E-N. I was going to say pollen because it looks like pollen, but there's an I in there. Mm. Oh, you know what? It's a typo. The first mention of the album has an I, but all the other mentions have an just spelled pollen. Good. Hey, this album comes out June 1st. But you're going to hear an early track from it, first single release from this. This is a Brooklyn band called Super Bloom. And some of their music sounds like Dinosaur Jr., Nirvana. There's a track on this on the single for this first song that is very Nirvana styled. But I'm pulling out a very cool, almost Jose Gonzalez kind of acoustic track for this first song here. This is really, really good. The song is Muzzle. Here is Super Bloom.
Save me from myself.
Sending a boy to do a man's job? Hey, kid, do you really want to fight with me?
If you've got to die for something, this sure as hell ain't it.
Beware of rabbits. They eat carrots. This is the Morning Stream.
All right. We're back. We have returned. Welcome back, everybody. That song again, Brian?
That song is Muzzle by the band Superbloom. It's from their upcoming album, Pollen.
Fantastic. All right. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Hold tight, because good news. You're going to learn about making shit.
And yeah.
It's going to come from the mouth, desk, and life of one Bill Durant. So let me play his intro.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Durant joining us from the Pacific Northwest. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good.
Oh, that's fantastic. You sound great. You sound awake and ready and living it. Just living the dream over there.
You know it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, always. Bill comes from punishedprops.com, a company he founded all about making and being creative and cool props and all sorts of rad stuff, including a really cool YouTube channel that if you're not already following, then what are you doing? Freaking get it in gear and get over there. Hey, Bill, what do you have for us today?
Oh, I've got a really fun topic here. I know that I'm not going to point any fingers, but some people on this Discord call are serial content creators who start new let's just say podcast every like on a whim.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And every time you start, or if you've been working on a sort of a new creative endeavor for a while, sometimes you might try to think like, well, how do I make this thing so that it's not like all the other stuff that's out there, but it's still very much like me, right? Something very personal, something that I like a lot. That could be like a podcast, YouTube channel, a webcomic, a novel, short story, paintings, any sort of creative endeavor that's going to go on for a while.
Right.
So this is something I put a lot of thought into because I have a YouTube channel I've been running for a long time. In fact, December will be the 10-year anniversary of starting my YouTube channel.
Jeez.
Which is kind of bananas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Fast.
So there's this really fun and cool exercise that I learned from my buddy Brian Brushwood, who learned it from his buddies Penn and Teller, that they used to develop their stage show, their magic stage show. Mm-hmm. The idea is that you take a look at what's out there, right? The other creative things that are similar to what you're making. So when they did it, they looked at all the other stage magic shows out there. And they watched a lot of them. And they made a list of all the stuff about stage magic that they didn't like. They basically let their hate be their guide. They dipped their toe into the dark side, and they were able to come up with a list of things that they just didn't want to do in their show that everyone else was doing. All the tropes, you know, magic tropes. And
white
they,
tigers.
Exactly, yes. What? No white tigers. They only want orange tigers.
Orange tigers, yes.
Yeah.
And they were able to develop a show that was very personal to them because it was choices they made depending on what they liked or not. And it didn't look like anything else that was out there at the time. So we did the same thing for our YouTube channel quite a few years ago. We already watch a lot of YouTube videos. And if you are looking to get into, let's say, a podcasting, you should be listening to a lot of podcasts, right? Mm-hmm, you should really see what's out there and really get an idea for what your taste is.
Sure. Yeah. That's
so we did the same thing.
The other thing sometimes is just to a simple Google search sometimes.
Like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because the problem I've run into before is I'll think I've had the most brilliant idea ever and I can't believe no one's done it. And the minute you think that, in the modern age, you need to go look because there's a really strong chance somebody else has already done it or done it in a way that you at least need to see it and go, oh, well, that's okay because I'm going to go this direction with it. And that's different, makes it kind of new. Plus, you know, I'm bringing my own style to it and blah, blah, blah. So you can still navigate your way through that. But looking for a thing that nobody anywhere, anytime has ever done before. Freaking good luck with that.
It's tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
If somebody,
So
if somebody's done it before, do it better. If nobody's done it before, do it.
Yep.
Yeah. You either have to be the first or best.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
So yeah, even if you do find something that's very similar to what you thought you wanted to make, it's worth dissecting it and picking it apart. And it's very possible for you to make your own version of it that is, like I said, is still very personally you and still very different. So a few years ago, we actually took a class with Brian in Texas with the Wizard Academy, which is a business school that is awesome, and I love it. And we did this exercise. We analyzed our YouTube channel. We analyzed a lot. We watch a lot of maker YouTube channels, right? So we were able to pick apart the things that people do in their videos that we don't prefer, that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
I think hate's a little bit strong of a word, but
sure.
For me, anyway. So we made this giant list. So here's a few examples. I don't like watching a maker video that isn't comprehensive, right?
Right.
Where it isn't clear. It feels like they skipped filming some of the steps, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it feels a little bit more like an overview of the build process. And those videos are fine. There's nothing wrong with those videos. It's just I don't want that for my videos.
Right.
I also don't like when people use colloquial terms or like local terms or whatever, for especially for materials or tools.
Give me an example. Here in Minnesota, we call a piece of wood old Jimmy John or whatever. Like, what do you mean? Like,
we're using right. rubber strap for this part.
So, for example, brand names will frequently get used. So Barge is a brand of contact cement that we use all the time. Problem is, it's only available pretty much here, and well, there are lots of places in the world where it's not available, and our YouTube videos go out to lots of people in the world. So I use the term contact cement, right, instead of saying barge. Usually I try to, so that when people are doing a Google search for glue in their area, they just look for contact cement, which is the more generic term, and they may find a brand of contact cement where they live. This is just an example.
Yeah.
So I put a lot of effort into that. Like when we were making our videos, I try very hard not to use colloquial terms or brand names. I try to use terms that people can then Google search for to go find it where they live. I also really don't like when people are working on something really intricate and they don't show a very close-up shot of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, I want a real close detailed shot of that thing you're working on. But a lot of times people will leave the camera on a tripod when they're filming and they don't consider, oh, I should move my body closer to the camera so I can get a better shot of this.
Sure.
So again, that's something we put a ton of effort into when we're doing our filming. And we have, you know, Brittany does the filming, so she can move closer and stuff, and she can think to do that while she's working, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
One more fun example. Just a silly thing about YouTube videos that bugs me. Mm-hmm. I don't like when people reference the title of their own YouTube video. So when you start watching the video and the first thing the person says, well, you've already watched you've already read the title, so you know what I'm about to say. I'm like, don't even say any of that. Just go into the video.
Get right to it. Yeah.
Just skip that part.
This is my number one problem with all of YouTube. Get to the meat. Get straight to the meat. Right. I don't need another introduction. I clicked on you because it said in the title, here's how to, you know, get your car to fart twice or whatever. I know what I want.
Yeah.
So I'm here
already. You don't need to tell us, oh, this is a video I've been wanting to make for a really long time.
Right, right.
Finally get a chance to do it.
Yeah.
And 1,000 people have asked me to make this video.
Right. No, the same thing goes for like written articles like this. Like get to the meat of the thing. I don't need all the fluff. And now there may be a case or two where explanation is needed. I'm not saying there isn't, but
oh sure, yeah.
Most of
you
the
do
time,
need to you do need to set up a premise for your story. That's very important. You should you should explain why it is you're making the thing you're making. But the sort of self-referential, like, hey everybody, I want to point out that we're watching a YouTube video on the internet. I'm like, just ignore all that. Just skip all that. Just talk directly to your audience. They've already read the title. They've already looked at the thumbnail. You worked really hard on those things. That's why they clicked on the video. Just get right into it.
And I understand the tendency. Like, I don't want to fault people too hard because I get the feeling of like, I sort of need to describe the problem again and then tell them the solution.
Yeah.
But you don't, because this is the new part of the kind of media we share with each other today, is we know what the problem is because we search for that problem. You're going to answer my problem. And if you answer it well and quickly, I'm going to subscribe to your channel because I know I'm going to get quick, good information here. Finding good channels on things like, I don't know, Photoshop tips or take anything where you're just looking for a good resource on, oh yeah, that's a bug, here's how you get around it, whatever. The ones that get to the damn point are the ones I subscribe to every time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I still like them for their personalities. I still like them for their entertainment value. It's not like that stuff can't exist. It's just, you don't have to read me the encyclopedia entry before you tell me the answer.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, and Tally put this in the chat room, it's known as the Wadsworth constant. If you go to 30% forward in the video, like skip the first, just drag your little slide of the 30% mark in the video, that's when you'll get to the important stuff of the video.
So you have to wait for the top to see how much they're going to launch into the description. And they're like, oh, this is one of those, 30% in, you're good.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So we did that, like I said, we did that example or that exercise years ago, and we've slowly changed how we make our YouTube videos. In fact, compared to 5 years ago, the way we make them now is unrecognizable. Completely different process, and the end product, I think, is much, much better. But not only that, we're going to find the other people who hate all those things too, and appreciate that we make videos that don't include them.
Nice.
We will attract more people that like the thing that we're into. That seems to have worked.
Yeah, and I think you, if anything, you guys are emblematic of what I like. Because I usually what I get with you is I'll hop in and you'll go, hey, you know this gun from such and such movie you think is cool? And then there's a picture of it. And I'm like, yeah, I do that gun is cool. We're making one of those. And then you start making.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I appreciate that. I don't need
It's a very simple premise for most of our videos. I'm like, hey, I'm Bill. There's a thing in the world that doesn't exist, and I want it to exist. So we're going to do that today. All right, let's go. All of our stories are that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a single sentence and you're in. And then it's the process that people are there for in your case.
Exactly.
So
I've also learned that people aren't here to see my face. We used to shoot our videos where I would talk at the camera for a bunch, and then I'd have some B-roll that I just chucked over it of the build process.
Yeah.
And every time I could look at the retention data, every time the video cut back to my face, people are like, nah, I'm out of here. I just leave. So we're like, okay, every bit of the video must be fabrication. Got it.
See, so and that's keep so that camera it seems, on my hands. It seems counterintuitive, right? But it's if you think about it, it makes sense. Like they're there for such a directed reason that if you're not giving them that thing, and in some videos cases, their face is the reason. Like you do want to go. I guess you want to see Logan Paul's face. I don't know, but my point is like
I don't.
Whatever.
I'll punch Logan Paul's face.
Well, now he has professional boxers do that, so it's fine.
That's true. Yes, exactly.
But yeah, like the talking head is good for when you want a talking head, but. You're totally right, and sometimes you just don't know that stuff until you've tried it and went, oh, we're okay, this is what people prefer. Yeah. And you're
trying to find the cross section of the things you like to do on video and the things that other people like to watch on video, and you may find something you really like that's totally you, that makes your videos really fun for you, that no one else likes. You have to decide, well, do I keep that in my videos or not, right? Do I want that to be a thing? Do I want that to be the thing that prevents some people from watching my video, even though I like doing it a lot?
Right.
And those are the weird kind of decisions you have to make once you've been, you know, working on a creative endeavor like this for a while.
So when is your Korean cosmetics channel launching? When are you going to get into that?
Yeah.
I'm excited. I watch Bill do that every day. All right. Well, this is great. Great advice. And recently ran up against this sort of thing myself. So it's always just good to be thinking that way. Sometimes it's easy to go, oh, I have a thing I would love to do. But it isn't necessarily something people would love to see or love to listen to.
Right, right.
So you got to just balance that. Maybe it's okay if all you're trying to do is just seek out precisely what you want, then okay, do that. You should do that. But if your goal is to like grow audience or expand, you know, what you do or whether it's monetize something or whatever, you have to think about those things and not just go, well, I want to do it, so therefore I'm doing it. It doesn't always work. So good advice all around. Bill, do you have a bonus link for us this week?
I sure do.
Great.
Alex Steele, the blacksmith, is making a wooden chair, or he made a wooden chair with his dad.
What?
He had a little three-part video series. You look
but he's
Alex
a blacksmith.
Steele.
Blacksmiths don't work with wood.
Or their dads.
He's really breaking the mold. Yeah.
They don't work with
dads.
So
his dad makes wooden chairs, and he's been doing it for decades, and he's really good at it. So Alec went and hung out with him, and they made a chair together, and it's really, really heartwarming.
Yeah, you've sent us videos by this guy before.
Yeah, yeah. Alec's awesome.
This is a wholesome dude. I like him. Yeah, go check that out.
He's got a box behind him.
That's right.
He does. He has dogs. They have an old wood shop. It's a super cute video.
He has a lot of hair compared to his dad. I'm just saying. Oh, and cut your own tree. Fantastic. All right.
Woo! Yeah. They did everything. Like, literally made it from scratch.
That's amazing. Good. That's so cool. Oh, yeah. His channel's got a lot of views. All right. Well, he's doing good.
They're showing cutting the tree, and it's in the first 30% of the video. I would have missed this.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Brian, don't do your 30% jump just yet.
I don't do my Wadsworth. Right, yes.
Ooh, exactly. He does, like, thatching and, what do you call that, wicker stuff? Bees. All right. Build Rand, everybody. PunishProps.com is the place to go. Punish Props on YouTube as well. And, of course, if you would like to follow his daily musings on Twitter, you can find him at Chinbeard. Bill, thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Right. Bye.
This looks like a nice old dad.
Totally.
I like nice old dads.
They're nice great. Workshop, too. Look at that.
Wish my dad was around. That'd be cool. All right. Let's now... slink our way into Funtown. Okay, a couple things going on today. Schleicher is a no-go today. He's in a meeting. So okay. I thought it'd be fun to finish reading these questions that we got on our PM episode that we didn't have time.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you were talking about copying them out to use them for a later show. This is that later show.
This is the later show, guys. This is it. So let me play the theme. Oh, that's the People's Court. Hold on. Where the hell did it go? It's definitely not the People's Court.
Oh, I'm doing a bag of salad.
That's not you. Or that is you. But that's
is me, but that's not what you're looking for.
No, where is it?
Smoke weed every day.
No, that's fine. We'll play that.
We'll use that.
Yeah, here are some quick questions that we were asked by patrons. And if you'd like to be a part of this ridiculousness, you can join the Patreon if you haven't already. Patreon.com/TMS. And there's a few we didn't get to. For example, Robert Harrington wrote in. Brian, I'm going to give this one to you because this just feels like a you question.
Oh, okay, make sure
I'm giving the right credit here. I think it's the top. I take it back. It's Miravina, I guess. The way these are formatted, I can't tell whose name's with what, but I think this is Miravina. Gotcha. What's a music album you consider to be perfect?
Oh, wow. A
perfect album, Brian, is what we're looking for
here. Perfect album. Got it. Well, I mean, let's go with an easy one, and then I'll go with a more obscure one. Easy one is the Beatles' Abbey Road. Like, it is solid from start to finish, right? Like, you get the pop songs at the beginning, and then most of the second half is like one continuous song that just fades from one to the other. And so Abbey Road is kind of that easy one. A little bit more off the beaten path is the Posies' Dear 23 album. That is, it's not a concept album, but it just feels like it does kind of tell a story. And that's one that I don't listen to singles from that album. I listen to the whole thing start to finish. Some other ones people are mentioning, Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys is a great one. Good. Pull Kelly 138. Mm-hmm. That's another one I'll listen to start to finish. Big Audio Dynamite 2, The Globe is another good one. Really good. Starts with Rush, but you get all the singles at the beginning, but then after that, it's just like, oh, this is some good solid solid music after that.
If I had to pick one, I'll just pick a one that I always go back to and never get tired of. I think that qualifies. Mm-hmm. I never get sick of listening to American Idiot by Green Day. I love that album. I love it. I love the whole thing. I love especially the extended edition one that's just got like Boulevard of Broken Dreams and Holiday. Is it Holiday? Not Holiday. Whatever it is. Those two songs are actually one big giant song. People don't realize that. They were cut out. They were cut in half for singles.
Right.
But it's one big contiguous thing. And it's like it's almost like their wall kind of that whole album's like
It is a concept album. Yeah.
Jesus of Suburbia is huge, big, long song, and it's amazing. I really like that album. I could listen to it anytime.
It's a good album.
As albums go. I have plenty of songs like this, right? Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
But like, there's plenty of songs where I'd go, oh, there's a song I could always listen to, or there's a whatever. I could listen to Gay Bar any minute. I'd love that song. I want to take you to a gay bar. I love that song.
Hilarious.
Love it. It's so good. And then I really like... I love Weedus's Teenage Dirtbag. I could listen to that song anytime. Right.
But does the whole album hold up?
No.
Probably not as
much. Even close. But that one song is this, it's the story of my youth. It's kids in the 80s trying to get a girl to like them. It's so it's an amazing song. Anyway. Yeah, Hall & Oates. I'm sure we're all going to agree with that one. Hall & Oates.
Oh, Peter Gabriel's So album. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Been Caught Stealing When I Was 5, Jane's Addiction. Yeah, there's plenty of great songs. Full albums, that's trickier.
Yeah. This last weekend I was listening while I was painting, listening to Father of the Bride by Vampire Weekend, which is another good one. Yeah. Solid from start to finish. Thanks to one of the Heim sisters being in a lot of those songs on there.
And as recent examples go, I swear by Hollywood is Bleeding by that entire album by Post Malone. It's so re-listenable. Mm. I can listen to that anytime. And it sounds weird to give an album that new and also, you know, hip hop dude sort of give him that kind of credit. But I think that album's great. I could listen to it.
Cool. I've never listened to it. I'll listen to the whole thing. I know the singles, but I don't know any of the rest of the stuff.
It's great. So. I mean, you got Ozzy in there. You got some other cool stuff. Yeah, the Tron soundtrack's great. There's plenty of good ones. All right. Here's one from Jesse Call has this question.
Jerky provider. Yeah. Enjoyed a piece of that jerky last night while we were watching my recommendal for this week.
See, Leninade, we're going to have words. Leninade 3000 says, Post Malone's voice is not a voice. That's a weird thing to say. That guy can sing. Like, legit.
Leninade is really, some days, looks like they're trying to take the title away from Dice Tomato.
Yeah, Dice Tomato, are you catching? Is that what's going on? No, you can say that, but I don't know if you guys are actually listening. Go listen to that newer album and you find the auto-tune. I can't. It's really good. All right. Doesn't matter. His covers are great. His Smells Like Teen Spirit and the recent one with Darius Rucker.
Post Malone did a cover with Darius Rucker. The Pikachu thing. Pikachu thing. Only Want to Be With You.
Yeah. That's him singing, man.
I was hearing a little out of tune in that one.
Bagheera, listen, look at this. Scott's taste in music is atrocious. I like everything. So you're saying my taste in music, which is very broad, I like some classical. I like stuff all the way over into some, you know, hardcore metal. I like stuff, everything in between. I like new age. I like new wave. I like everything. There's not a kind of music I don't like. And he says I have bad taste in music. I have taste. I literally have taste in music. I taste it all. The buffet is for me.
That's right. That's funny.
What a load.
No, right. don't let Bagheera get you. Don't let him crawl.
I'm not going to eat that. I'm going to eat that bait. He's pulling that hook. Some country I'd like. Yes, Miravina. I especially like bluegrass and like older style country. I love that stuff. All right. Here's what song would describe your current mood, says Jesse. Your current mood, wow. Brian. Current mood.
Well, after all that, it's something with screaming in it. No, current mood. Geez. So like if I said, all right, what mood am I in? Betty Blue by Phases.
Oh, very nice.
Cause it's like, this anticipation, like, you know, in 4 days I'm getting on a plane and flying somewhere. I'm a little nervous about plane. I don't know why. I I've been in restaurants, I've been in groups and that sort of thing. So it's not a big deal, but, there's a going on vacation vibe to that song that I just really, really like. And that is my current mood right now.
I think my mood is split between Deadmau5 and his new track with Rez called... Shit. What's it called? Hold on. I'm going to find this because it's a great recommendation. But Deadmau5 and Rez, two of my favorite electronic artists right now, did a combo... called, and if I could just find it, here we go, by artist. That song is called Hypnocurrency. And it's freaking great. It's so drivey, beady, awesome. And
I like the name Hypnocurrency.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Great. And I just want to crank that up in my car, sunroof down, and drive. That's what I want to do right now with that song. That's the mood I'm in. but a little bit of Teenage Dirtbag as well. I'm feeling that right now. Just kind of a melancholy sort of, you know, I don't know, one of those things. But yeah, y'all should be listening to that Hypnocurrency. It's fantastic. All right.
Cool.
Even if you don't like Deadmau5 normally, there's something in this one. Well, it's probably Rez, but it's a really good collaboration. All right, next question. We got somebody else says I have a top 40 like of music. What are you talking about?
Don't get on there. You're
Lennonade, you should see my playlist. You're an insane person. All right, moving on. Brian, what's your okay, Brian, this is rapid fire. You can't hesitate on these questions.
No hesitation.
What is your favorite color?
Red.
Smell.
Chocolate chip cookies, fresh baked.
Food.
Sushi.
I was hoping to say chocolate chip cookies, fresh baked.
That's right. Don't give me any sushi that smells like chocolate chip cookies, though.
No,
I'll be freaked out.
No. All right. How about this one? What would you call your own cryptocurrency? Says Brian Mitchell Young. Hypnocurrency is not bad.
That's
but
great.
Let's see. What would we call it?
If it was TMS, it would be called Chester Coin.
Chester Coin. Chester Coin.
Chester Coin.
That's great. Yeah, if it's just Coverville, cover coins easy.
Yeah, I didn't want to go with the obvious. I was splooge coins.
Oh, now they're saying I'm easy to bait. I just gotta hide the chat room. I'm hiding you.
You do.
Goodbye.
You do.
Goodbye. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you guys are jerks, and today you're being jerks. All right, moving on. Not all of you. Some of you are fine. Some of you are being buttholes. All right, moving on. How about this one? What's the deal with Ovaltine? Says Brian Mitchell Young. I don't know.
Yeah, it's somewhere between 13 and 19 is Ovaltine, and I can't figure out where to put it when I start counting above 12.
Yeah, it's that one prime number I just can't get my head around.
That's right. What do you mean, what's the deal with Ovaltine? It's a delicious malty chocolatey beverage.
It is indeed.
I just can't do the regular milk anymore. I don't know how that stuff does. I guess it'd probably be fine in almond milk.
There you go. JK would be, and oat milk would be all right in that. I'm all about the oat milk.
Yeah, I like the oat milk.
Love it. JK Grammer asked, what's the piece of art / 3D printing you're most proud of? Art-wise, for me, probably, I don't know if I have a single thing. I don't know. I'm probably most proud of that comic compilation book I did in 2015. So I'll just say that whole book. There's a lot of art in there, and I know this is a cheap answer, but I don't really have a thing where I'm like, now that's... Okay, I got one. Recently, I did the dude that runs like an alchemy stand in like a fantasy setting, and I drew this guy out front. He's blind, and there's like a snake in front of him, and then behind him's all these like oddities, like skulls and claws and weird stuff, and it's super detailed out. I think I'm pretty proud of that one. So there you go. I don't even know what that's to call that one, but I'll say that one. Brian, do you have a 3D print you're like, oh,
a 3D
man.
Print. See, that's a weird one because most of the 3D printing I do is something somebody else came up with.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I did... Oh, there's not an easy way to lift this thing up, is there? Oh, there is. Okay. I created... This is something I designed, made several iterations of, and finally printed and then put online. But it's this Apple phone holder that is... works with MagSafe, so basically you just put your phone on there.
Oh yeah.
Like that. And it holds it. And you can even, you know, strong enough you can turn it sideways.
Look at that.
Right.
That's very cool.
And then you go buy a washer from Ace Hardware, like one of these big heavy brass washers.
Yeah.
And you put it in there and it's got enough weight that it holds this thing down on your desk so it doesn't slide around when you like I can pull the pull my phone off of there without just pulling the whole thing apart.
That's really cool.
So that's the thing. The other thing I'm proud of is a spoon holder that we have by our coffee setup upstairs that holds the spoon in a vertical position over a slightly concave surface, but the spoon doesn't sit in its own coffee swill, right? It just it just hovers above it. And so I actually had to use our current spoons, figure out the size, get dimensions and that sort of thing. But
Current Spoons is a cool band name.
Current Spoons would be my would be my cover band.
Let's think. Current Spoon. Oh, I know. It's your Chris Cornell cover band.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
Spoon Man. That's the only comparison I can think of.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Spoon Man.
Nope, you haven't distracted me at all, Claire.
She's always distracting.
She's trying to, like, all caps, Brian, hi, hello. And,
no, oh, she's trying to do it. She's making the effort, I see.
She is, exactly.
Well, I wouldn't know.
I know you're not watching anymore, yeah. So, like, they're going to try and get to you via me.
Yeah, I'm currently hiding the chat room. So.
Uh-huh.
Like you do. All right, let's do one more of these. We got one from, here we go. Okay, I know that Brian has gigs and gigs of songs. This is from Graham Cracker. Gigs. But how many gigs of GIFs does Scott have? Well.
Yeah, because you pull in new ones all the time to like promote the shows and stuff, right?
I do. I make my own kind of, basically. Yeah. I prefer making my own, but sometimes they come from like a weird TikTok video I saw, or like a fail video, or something we did, or something from one of the Film Sack movies or whatever.
Film Sack usually, yep.
But I don't. Here's the funny bit. I only keep around probably 12 GIFs for like Twitter answers. Like if I'm going to mute somebody, I have some very creative mute GIFs. I love using those.
Right.
But mostly I keep them on the cloud. I have an account on Giphy and they all stay up there. So
yeah, which is a smart place to store it all.
Well, yeah. Plus
if I could keep all my music up there, I would, but I can't.
Right.
I can't.
And GIFs are big. They're as big as songs are. Like a little 2-second GIF can be 5 to 8 megabytes. So mm-hmm. Why keep that all on a hard drive? There's no real point to it. So it's all on the cloud and I can get to it anytime I need to. So that's what
currently, by the way, 657 gigabytes of music, of songs. And that doesn't include Andrew Allen stuff. That doesn't include, you know, archived songs that I got out of my library just to keep it from being super bogged down.
When you hit a terabyte, that'll be a cool day. We should talk
about
that.
It'll
be a
cool day, yes.
Yeah. When that happens, we should make a giant deal out of it on here. You know, just celebrate.
Yes. And we'll have a celebration to raise money for an external SSD to put it all on.
Perfect. Okay, here is a Monday morning mashup. Now, I've been excited to play this for a bit because Jamie's given me all kinds of like early warning that it's awesome. So they always are. So I don't know why he would wonder if I thought it would be great, but it's probably great. So here it is. It's called Nicolisms. That's hilarious that I said that wrong when it's all about.
How appropriate. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That worked out great. So here it is. Enjoy.
Press the space bar.
The space bar on the...
Claire's not even in this game and is playing this game so freaking hard. Man.
What was the movie with
The Road?
Keira Knightley and Steve Cantrell? Cantrell? I don't know.
Keira Knightley and
Steve
who?
Carell?
Steve Carell?
It's been a while since we've had a good Nicolism.
Yeah, that's good. Who's the speedy guy? Run Bummer.
whatever his name is, yeah.
Speed Man. What is it? Lightning McQueen. A-Train, that's it.
A-Train.
You mean it's not Run Bummer? I can't imagine that it wasn't
Run Bummer.
We ate your wiener. It was fine. You're our next contestant on The Price is Wrong, bitch.
Thank you, Shave Max. That was probably one of my favorite end of the world movies.
Hold on. Who shaved Max?
Shave Maddox. Shave
Sorry. Oh, Shave Maddox. Got it. All right. No, you're fine. You're good.
I didn't see the
Max Fury Road. Not so furry road. There we go. Shave Max, not so furry road.
Oh, why is it so funny? Oh, did I forget to take that out? Sorry. All right. Yes, it's my maid, Claire Gack. Her name is Kim Johnson. I married my maid. Physically correct boy doll is their words.
Yeah, just say he has a penis. Yeah. Golly. You know.
It's weird.
Physically
just
correct
say that he's got
doll.
A meathead.
Yeah. His head is of meat. He is of meat.
He's got a meat head.
Maybe it's because you wear the hats and the shirts and the funny stuff at like Nerdtaculars or whatever.
Right? Pimps wear funny hats.
Yeah.
Every single time you say Gerard, I think Gerard Debatou.
Debatou. Debatou. Gerard Debatou.
I'm just going to stop talking to
you. Gerard Dabadidabadai? Is that...
But every time you say Gerard, I think of the Gerard... I get mad. I'm not even going to try. I'm the worst.
Depardieu?
Depardieu, yeah.
Depardieu.
Depardieu is pretty close.
Okay, yeah, maybe knobs is not the right word. I should have used Zoe for you UK listeners.
Yeah, that's a penis.
That is a penis.
Yeah.
Your knob. It's a knob. Stick your knob. Yeah, I guess you don't want to say in your gob, because that's a whole different thing.
Well, because a gob is your mouth, see?
A gob is your mouth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you don't want to put your gob near your knob. Yeah.
Tim Horton got the superpower of invisible lightning.
In the daytime, he's Tim Horton. At night, he's invisible lightning.
He's Timbits.
Timbits. He's got the best coffee, and he'll save you from a fire.
Here I go. Don Cheadle, Dermot McRoney. Can't even say his name. Patrick Warburton, Meredith Steenburger. I don't know. I
think we need to get you at the Oscars as announcing.
Steenburger.
And your nominees are?
Give me a list of names and I'll just start reading them. Maybe that'll make some people happy.
I'd do an entire episode with her just reading Hollywood names.
Absolutely, yes.
So good. All right. Well, Nicole, thanks for letting us have fun at your expense.
You need to do a celebrity gossip podcast with Nicole.
I'm all in. All right. That's it for the show, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Patreon.com/TMS will help this thing stay on the air. So please head over there and support us if you haven't already. And as always, I always mention this, but I'm just going to pound it in until your brain hurts. Frogpants.com/TMS. Ouch, that hurt my brain. All right. That is it, I believe. As I mentioned, 4 p.m. today, the live stream of Resident Evil 8 begins. And if you want to watch that nonsense, it'll happen then at frogpants.tv. So be here for that. And a new TMS tomorrow, and whole week of stuff. And if you don't count Thursday,
yeah, I was gonna say, a whole week of stuff, but only really the first 3/5.
Yeah, it's really the first 3/5 of the week before Brian and I are out of town. But we appreciate you all letting us do that, and we look forward to coming back and telling stories about all the weird stuff we saw. Hopefully, nobody cutting themselves on a pipe. All right, Brian, let's get out of here with some sort of music, I guess.
Music, some sort of a music. Chris, a.k.a. Mr. Kai in the chat room, wrote in, said, "Dear Headmaster and Guy in the Booth." Wow, we're going back.
Yeah.
"As I turn the age of the answer to life, the universe, and everything, I figure it's time for another birthday request. But this time, I would like to change things up. I would like to request a cover from either of the punk bands that I've discovered recently, either from Boy Hero or One Last Night. I would really appreciate it. Since my birthday is on May 15th and it's on a Saturday, any day from May 17th to the 18th would be great."
Wow.
Very specific. "Much respect and thank you for all the amazing shows. Kitako na kung bakit mo siya gusto," which is, "I can definitely see why you like it," translated from Filipino.
Oh, wow. Let's hear how that sounds in English.
"I can definitely see why you like it."
Pretty accurate. Nice
pretty
job.
Accurate. Yeah, yeah. Sounded accurate. Very cool. Yeah, so thank you for letting me know about these bands. I hadn't heard Boy Hero or Our Last Night. I think he wrote One Last Night, but I found it on here as Our Last Night, and a bunch of great covers. I was really trying to decide between Wait For It from Hamilton or How Far I'll Go from Moana, the Disney movie from Boy Hero. I'm going with the latter. We're going with How Far I'll Go because it is just such a great song. Here is Boy Hero, a single that they released in 2017, a cover of that song from Moana called How Far I'll Go.
Van's favorite film, by the way. Loves that movie.
Is it really? That's great.
Loves it. He's always going, "Moana, Moana.
You're welcome."
Yep. "Hey, Moana, you make way." And he doesn't sing it, but he loves it.
But he loves, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, he loves it. It's a good movie, so I don't blame him. All right, that's it. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you then.
"I've been standing at the edge of the water long as I can remember, never really knowing why. I wish I could be the perfect daughter, but I come back to the water no matter how hard I try. Every turn I take, every trail I track, every path I make, every road leads back to the place I know where I cannot go, though I'd love to be. See the line where the sky meets the sea, it calls me.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Get to the chopper!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.